Dr. Boyce, before we get on to your tip of the day, the Better Health Radio Show tip, let me just put this to both of you. This WhatsApper says, good evening to Dr. Boyce and Dr. Grosner on Glaucoma Week. Can other eye conditions, such as retinopathy, lead to glaucoma eventually in persons with diabetes?
Yes. The short answer is yes. And again, chronic condition like diabetes, independently of glaucoma, before I get on to the way that diabetes and glaucoma can be related, independently of glaucoma, if you have diabetes, you should be getting your eyes checked once a year or at the interval designated by your eye doctor. Because diabetes, again, can affect the blood vessels in the eye, and that person that's sending the message correctly identified that when it starts to affect the blood vessels in the eye, it's called retinopathy. And we're not talking about the blood vessels you see when you go close to the mirror and you see all these red blood vessels here. We're talking about the ones at the back of the eye that you cannot see. Only your eye doctor, your optometrist, is going to be able to see those blood vessels. So it's absolutely imperative to be regularly checked for eye changes related to diabetes if you have diabetes. Now, if you do happen to develop this retinopathy, and again, it gets out of control, what happens is that the eye starts to produce new blood vessels start to form. And the new blood vessels that form are weak. They grow all over the place in the eye in places that blood vessels are not supposed to be. And one of those areas is the drainage system for the fluid in the eye. We've been talking a lot about pressure in the eye. We all have a certain level of pressure in the eye. We need it in order to, you know, the eye is a ball, right? To keep that ball round and give it its nice shape, to nourish the tissues inside the eye. You need a certain amount of pressure. And that pressure is generated by the fluid inside the eye that's constantly being produced and constantly being drained away. In glaucoma, the drainage system in the eye doesn't work well. And so that fluid backs up and you get the high pressure. Now, in the retinopathy with diabetes, diabetic retinopathy, you have these abnormal blood vessels that are going haywire, and they can grow into the drainage system where they're not supposed to be. And when that happens, they block it. And that causes the whole system to back up, and the pressure can actually get very, very high. That's a particular kind of glaucoma called new vessel glaucoma or neovascular glaucoma. But it's a chain reaction. It starts with the diabetes eye changes and the new blood vessels in the eye, then creating this whole chain reaction that's ending up in this very severe glaucoma. Unfortunately, we have quite a few persons in Barbados that have diabetic retinopathy. And then I also then will see a portion of those people who develop neovascular glaucoma. And the key, again, is picking up these things early. If that change, I mean, first of all, to control your diabetes so you don't get the retinopathy, the next stage is, okay, getting your eyes checked so that if you happen to get the retinopathy, it's picked up early and treated. Because it's when that chain reaction starts to go that's very, very hard for us to stop. And if you have neovascular glaucoma, often all we can do is try to get the pressure down, try to stabilize things. The doctors that specialize in the retina work with the retinopathy. The patient has to work on the diabetes. It's a whole universal, massive effort to try to save any sight at all in that eye, because it really is a threat to the sight of the eye if you have that kind of glaucoma from diabetic retinopathy.
All right, Doc, we do have a call on the line, and we still have to get to our tip of the day. So what we'll do, we'll go to the call of the line on the line first, and then after she's been satisfied, then we'll come back and do the Better Health Radio show tip of the day. So, caller, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Go right ahead, please. The doctors can hear you.
Okay, good evening. I'd just like to know, how prevalent is juvenile glaucoma in Barbados? At what age would we find it usually, and how would it be diagnosed? Like, and then also, would families that have glaucoma need to take children from early to see the eye specialist? Thank you.
All right, thank you for that question. You give me an opportunity to talk about an area I'm very passionate about, glaucoma in the pediatric age group, which is extremely rare, thankfully. I'll start at the end of her question. If you have glaucoma in the family, if you need to take the kids to be checked, no, not if you have adult glaucoma in the family. However, if you have pediatric glaucoma, so if they're kids with glaucoma in the family, then you have to be checked. So for example, if you, you know, if your first child has glaucoma, your second child obviously has to be checked. Doesn't mean that they would get it because it is extremely rare. We don't have the numbers for pediatric glaucoma in Barbados as yet, but internationally it's 1 in 10,000 births that would have pediatric glaucoma. So that is very rare. Mm-hmm. It presents at different age groups. So the kind of glaucoma that you get in babies, so you can get it from birth. We can diagnose it in utero, birth, in primary school age, in teenagers, the whole range. And it shows up slightly differently in each age group. When babies, newborns get glaucoma, it happens because the eyes just haven't developed the way they should. They might look fine on the outside, but the drainage system on the inside hasn't developed as it should to be able to drain that fluid that's being produced. So they get very high pressures. When that happens, because when you're small, your tissues are elastic and stretchy, it can make the eyeball get bigger. So often parents will pick that up early because they'll notice one of these eyes is looking bigger than the next one. Or it makes the vision cloudy it makes the eye look cloudy and grayish or bluish almost when the pressure is high. So a parent might come and say, one of these eyes are looking kind of funny. Or if you had children before, then you pick up that these eyes don't look like I feel they should look. Usually it's something like that, a suspicion, right? That makes the parent highlight it to the pediatrician, usually the pediatrician or even the eye doctor. Watering of the eye along with a large eye that is watery and very light sensitive, so sensitive to bright light or sunlight, that combination usually is a sign of pediatric glaucoma or congenital glaucoma. It is very, very rare. A child's eye might water for different reasons. Maybe the family just has big, beautiful eyes. That's just the way they are, you know. Maybe they're a little light sensitive because they just don't like bright light. It's a very sunny day. You know, those individual things on their own aren't cause for alarm, but together, if you have a child where one eye is larger than the other and it's watery and they're shy away from the light a lot, then, you know, that's what triggers the suspicion for glaucoma in the young age, congenital. Now, the older kids in, let's say, primary school, it doesn't happen quite the same way because the change in the pressure is more subtle. So you might not notice anything different about the eyes. However, if they wear glasses, it makes children short-sighted, right? If they have glaucoma at a young age. So you might notice that their glasses keep having to be changed regularly. You know, every few months, all the time, they have to go to the optician or the optometrist and get these glasses changed. That's a sign that we need to look further, because that's not normal. Why are their glasses requiring to be changed so quickly, right? Why is their prescription changing so quickly? Why are they getting more and more short-sighted so quickly? We have to ask the question and look deeper. And the teenagers present similarly as well. What you've heard me say in all those cases is very different from the adults. In all those cases, something has triggered a visit, right? Something has happened. And that's the thing about glaucoma in kids. Usually they have a symptom. Either they're not seeing well, so they need a check for glasses, and we discover it then. Or in the babies, for example, you notice something physically doesn't look right with the eyes. There's a lot that we can do for kids with glaucoma, but it is it's a much harder disease to treat and often requires surgery because you're constantly trying to get this drainage system that just didn't develop like it should. You're trying to make it normal, and it can't always quite be normal. So we always are trying to do a lot with kids. And then we're looking at a very long trajectory of treatment, because if you're diagnosed with glaucoma at birth, you know, we're counting everybody. At least in my book, I'm counting everybody to 100, so that we want that when you're 100 and the Governor General comes to see you, you can see the Governor General and toast and everything. So that's the lifespan we're looking at. And for a child, then, it means that we're looking at a real long haul. Rexon, you can remind me if I forgot any other parts of her question.
No, I don't think you did, to be quite honest with you.
So kids don't need to be checked. Right. Kids don't need to be screened for glaucoma the way that adults should be screened every year or every couple of years. But if you notice something different about their eyes or a concern about the vision, or the teacher has a concern about the vision, definitely get their eyes checked. Their eyes should be checked just before they're going to school to make sure. This is not for glaucoma. This is just in general a vision check. Mm-hmm. Just before they go into school to make sure that everything is all right. In our setting, just before the common entrance or those exams, to make sure that, you know, when I say just before, maybe class three, to make sure that, okay, there's nothing in the sight. There's no need for glasses that's going to interfere with their performance. And at those two critical levels, that's when it's important, at least to have a vision screen for the kids, even for the ones that seem fine.
All right. I'm quite sure she heard you because she said she was going to go back and listen to the radio. Doc, we are ready for you with the Better Health Radio Show tip. Let me just inform our listeners that the Better Health Radio Show tip is brought to you today with the kind compliments of A.A. Lackeys.
Puncture wounds to the feet, or nail jukes as we call them, can lead to serious infections, especially in those persons who are diabetic. How can you reduce your risk of getting an infection that may lead to amputation? Check your feet daily, which is not simply looking at your feet, but looking at the nails, checking the spaces between the toes, and feeling the soles. If you're unable to see your soles, use a mirror or ask a relative for help. Make sure the feet are warm, not hot, and that there are no cracks or objects in the soles. Wear appropriate shoes inside and outside at all times. Any changes in your feet? See your doctor ASAP.
Thank you, Doctor. That's Dr. Renee Boyce there today with the Better Health Radio Show tip, and was brought to you with the kind compliments of AA Lackeys.
Improve your quality of life with AA Lackeys Home Healthcare Solutions. Where comfort, mobility, orthopedic, respiratory, diagnostic, safety, home health care made easy. Manage your wellness with expert care from Home Health Care Solutions.
Come to AA Lackeys at Legends Mall for all of your home health care needs.
Home Health Care Solutions.
Thank you to A.A. Lackeys. Let's get back to the discussion and let's get it started with another query. This one says, Doctor, can glaucoma be corrected or managed by wearing spectacles?
No, it can't. No, it can't. Spectacles improve your vision if you're short-sighted, long-sighted, astigmatism. These are issues with how your eyes focus. Whereas glaucoma is a problem with the nerve. Of course, if you have glaucoma, it's absolutely fine to wear glasses. And even persons who have very advanced glaucoma, we still recommend spectacles if they need them, because even if you have a small amount of vision, however good we can make that, we want to get the best out of it. And if it means wearing spectacles or glasses to do that, then that is fine. In terms of treating glaucoma, the most common thing that most persons will know about is eye drops. That's the mainstay of treatment and what we have traditionally used first line as the first treatment for glaucoma, because we have a wide range of eye drops. We've had decades of experience with them. We know they work well. And we know that if we find the right eye drop for the right person, then that will bring their pressure down. Sometimes it's a combination of eye drops that's required. And, you know, it's important to realize that glaucoma is a chronic illness, like all of the other chronic diseases. It is not something that we can eliminate. So far, we can't say that we can cure it, but we can control it. We can keep it under control with eye drops, which will be required to be used daily. Some persons over time will require that. We'll realize that if you start on one eye drop, sometimes that needs to be changed if the disease changes or your pressure changes over time. Now we have so many newer modalities. So we've got some newer modalities of treatment available. So laser treatment is becoming more in vogue as a first-line treatment for glaucoma. And this is not fancy laser treatment like LASIK and so on. to make your vision better and get you out of your glasses, this is specifically laser targeted at glaucoma, in which we target the drainage system to help it to work better. That can be very useful for younger people to delay their use of drops, because once we start using drops, generally we've made that commitment going forward. But if you're a very young person, you might not want to start, if you're not so young, you might not want to start on eye drops straight away. You might want an option, and laser treatment is an option. I always caution for patients, it doesn't work for everybody. We have all the data for many years now. The success rate is about 75%. As compared to eye drops, which will work for 99.9% of people, you know? So we still have to bear that in mind. If you're in the 75%, great. But if you're in the 25%, it doesn't work, well, at least you still have the eye drops. At least you still have the eye drops as the backup. And then for some persons, surgery might be required. If we go through all those treatment options of eye drops, laser, and it's still not controlling your pressure, then you may require surgery. Glaucoma surgery is nothing to fear, and particularly if we do it early enough to make a difference. The surgery doesn't take away the glaucoma. It's not like cataract surgery where when you have your cataract done, that cataract is out and gone. It's not coming back. Like we said, you can't take away the glaucoma, but we can control it. And we do surgery if your eye drops or laser treatment or whatever combination of treatments you're using are not good enough at controlling your eye pressure.
Well, let me stop. Let me stop you there for a second, Dr. Boyce. I beg your pardon, Dr. Grosner. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but the reason why I'm interrupting you at this point is because I have a query here, and it's basically the same thing you were saying. They're telling me that they had congenital glaucoma from birth, and that they have little vision now in the left eye, and in this left eye, the pressure is usually 16 or 17, but as we speak, it's 32. And despite the medication, tablets, and the eye drops that you're speaking of, the pressure isn't coming down. And they're asking, what would your recommendation be? You just mentioned surgery, so that's why I brought this in at this point in time.